Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stuart, if you could just put the title slide up on the screen for me. It is on the desktop. Thank you. Great. I'm going to continue the message that I started a couple of weeks ago, heart to heart, looking at issues of the heart and what God has to say about how we should live and about how we should manage our hearts, as it were. Because we want to know what God has to say, don't we? All too often we're more concerned about what we think and our ideas instead of consulting God and His Spirit and seeing what He has to say. And so this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 17. There's a number of places that we could go, and in fact I will reference, but we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 13. And just as you're looking for that, I want you to just declare after me these words. Father, just declare it. We ask for revelation, understanding, and inspiration. As we read your word, let it renew our minds. As we hear your word, let it transform our lives. In Jesus' name. And that's a declaration that I want to be true, because we cannot come to the Word of God with just our minds and come to the Word of God for just information. We need the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to change information into revelation. Amen? Because unless it is revelation, it will never become a reality in our lives. Let's have a look then in Jeremiah 17, 5 to 13, and see what it says. And Jeremiah, one of the prophets, sent to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah is just after the period of the judges, called the judges cycle, because Israel as a nation, well, they were still a divided nation, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, and God would send his prophets to the north and to the south. And they were constantly forgetting God, turning their backs on God. God would come to them and remind them who he is, what he's done. And then they would all get down on their knees and say, oh, praise you, Lord, you're wonderful, you're great. Then they would forget about God and what he'd done and enter into sin again. And then God would say to them, unless you turn from your sin, this is what is going to happen. And then they remember God again, and then they get down on their knees and start worshipping God and praising him. And then in this cycle, this constant cycle of praising God, entering sin, repenting, praising God, entering sin, and repenting. And so it was this cycle that they were engaged in. And Jeremiah 17, verse 5 begins like this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And the Lord searches the heart and tests the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood, that she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by justice. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at the end, he will be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. And the key verse there is verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Yesterday, I was greatly encouraged. In fact, I've been greatly encouraged this morning. Yesterday, and in fact, over the weekend, some of us attended Soul Camp with John and Debbie Bullock. And it was fantastic, because as they began to speak and some of the things that they were saying, I'm thinking, knowing what I was going to speak about this morning, I thought, they're saying what I'm going to say. They're taking my notes. So much so that I showed it to Isabel. I said, look, Isabel, I got to show you this. I said, so that you know that what I'm saying on Sunday is not a result of what came out of the weekend, but something that God was already saying. And then this morning, again, we hear, as Roy was praying, we hear him talk about body, soul, and mind. And when the scriptures speak about the heart, it's primarily speaking about that part of us that is the soul. You see, God created us as a tripartite being. That is three in one. It says, doesn't it, that he created us in his image. Isn't that what the Bible says? He created us in his image. And, that doesn't mean that he created us to look physically like us, because, if God was as good looking as me, then, we can't all have it, can we? No, seriously, look, seriously. You have to, I say that in jest, but we have to see ourselves as God sees us. And I do not have a problem with my self-image, because I know who I am in God. And likewise, you too need to understand who you are in Christ and stand on what God says about you. Yesterday I was in a shop. This is true. I was in a shop yesterday. I was looking to buy a new jacket. Bless him, the guy was really helpful. The sales assistant was really, really helpful. And he went through a number of jackets trying to find the size. It wasn't quite long enough in the arms. It was short in the body. It wouldn't button up. And he ended up with this pile of jackets on the counter. And eventually he found one and he said, right, I know what size you are now. And he went to the computer and tapped it in and says, we'll see if we can get one from another store. Anyway, he went on and he couldn't find one, all out of stock. So when I was leaving, I shook his hand and I said to him, thank you for all your help. I'm just sorry that I couldn't fit into your clothes. The problem wasn't him, but I don't have a problem myself, my self-image at all. I just accept who God made me. But some of us do have issues with our self-image. But God didn't create us in his physical likeness. What he created us in is as a tripartite individual. That is three in one. And yesterday, whilst we were, at the weekend, whilst we were on the Soul Camp, and I'm giving credit to John and Debbie Bullitt, because they gave us this illustration. I find it really, really helpful. I'm not saying in any way that this is theologically correct, because I don't know, and neither do John and Debbie, but I find it very, very helpful. And it might be that in eternity we get to heaven and God might come alongside, or Jesus comes alongside, and he might say, Ian, you know that thing you said, you didn't quite get it right, but I don't know. But if it helps, then hopefully. I hope you can see this on the screen. It might not be very clear, but we are fundamentally three beings, and we need to understand this, and I'm going to leave this on the screen so that you can make sense of some of the things you're going to hear. We are fundamentally three in one. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. When we are born again, and the Bible tells us that you must be born again, it is not the soul that is reborn, or indeed the body, but the spirit is reborn. And as we are born again of spirit, we inherit the things of Christ, the things of the spirit. So we inherit the ability to know the mind of Christ. We inherit the ability to live in obedience and walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit. We have the agape love of Christ, that deep-rooted love that will allow us to lay down our lives for our fellow men. That deep-rooted love, we can know peace, faith, and forgiveness. That's the part of us that is reborn, the Spirit. So when you come to Christ, every single one of you has the potential to live the Christ life. Amen? Some people say, this is just the way I am. Listen, you're lying to yourself, you're lying to everyone else, because no one is just the way they are. If we didn't have the ability to change and be transformed, the gospel would be a lie, because the whole of the gospel says this, that we can be something new. Amen? That's the hope that we have. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So listen, do not tell me you are just the way you are. It's a lie, and it's a sad excuse for just continuing the way you continue. We are born of spirit. Our souls, however, are not renewed. And the souls are the part of us. You'll notice that where the mind, the emotions, and the will reside. That's the soul. And as a result of that, those three things coming together, our mind, our will, and our emotions, we develop things such as anxiety, fear. We carry bitterness because someone has hurt us somewhere down the line. And we hold on to that. We develop coping strategies, sarcasm, because someone has hurt us, because someone has done something to us, someone down the line has said something to us, and therefore I'm going to be sarcastic. I'm going to have a sarcastic persona in order that they can't hurt me again. How many of you, and I've heard people, you know, in conversations with people, when people put themselves down, when they say derogatory things about themselves, and the reason people do that is because it's a coping strategy. They have low self-esteem, low confidence in who they are, and so they think, I'll say it before anyone else does. The soul. And then we have the body. And remember, we've said it before, that we are spirit living in a body. We are not a body with a spirit. We are fundamentally, the Bible tells us that we are people of spirit. And so, when we allow those things of the soul, anxiety, unbelief, or you know, you could put any other thing, many other things in those things, those things can have a physical effect on your body. They manifest themselves, show themselves in a physical way. So we see things like self-harm that may stem out of things like rejection or even fear. We have things like depression. We have violence because of a hurt that someone is carrying, or because of something that someone said historically. And so the things we carry in our soul will eventually manifest themselves in a physical way. The Bible tells us that even the things that we carry in our hearts, in our souls, can have a physical effect and manifest themselves in sickness. Scientifically, they've proven already that, you know, if you carry something in your thinking, it can manifest itself in a physical way. You know, some of you already know that if you carry excess fear or anxiety, it will manifest itself sometimes in a physical way. And so we have been created spirit, soul, and body. That's the image of God. Tripartite, three in one. And the Bible speaks about the heart. There's a lot more that we could say about that, but I need to move on. The heart, the Bible says, is really, really important. It's important to what we think. It's important to what we say. It's important to what we do. And therefore, we regularly need to do open heart surgery. I've spoken about this before many times, about the need that we have to do open heart surgery. We need to subject ourselves, be willing to subject ourselves to the guiding hand of the one who is able, Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a willingness in us to submit ourselves to him. The way that we can perform this open heart surgery that all of us need, is by exposing ourselves to the Word of God and allow the teaching and the guiding and the conviction of the Holy Spirit as we read the Word to speak to us. That's why we need revelation. We need revelation of the word. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We need to allow the Word of God, and this is why it's so important that we spend time in the Word of God, so that it illumines our lives and shows us what we really are. Most people today, however, want to be successful according to their own idea of success. If you listen to the success propaganda again and again, it focuses on just two key things. The first thing it focuses on is that the majority of thinking and writing focuses on the outward self, the outer self, the things that we see, the things that are evidence. It's about how clever I can appear. It's about what kind of impression I can make. And remember, it is only an impression. How much applause can I register on the applause meter? You know, you guys who spend a lot of time on Facebook and other social media looking for the likes. How much do we earn? How much, you know, how fast can I climb the corporate ladder? And the list goes on, and no doubt you could add other things to that. But we read very little with an emphasis on the soul. We read very little where there is an emphasis on the heart. The Bible says it's the wellspring of our thoughts. Out of the heart, out of the soul, things come. Our motives, our ambitions, our values and decisions, they come from the heart, the soul. And sometimes even when we do read or hear about the heart, it generally goes on to talk about it from a self-centered perspective, an egocentric perspective. Even in Christian culture, the power of I am. Think better, live better, become a better you, and you can, you will. It's all about me. It's all about us. And there's no focus on God and what God has to say in terms of transforming the heart and the soul. Hallelujah. You see, the great thing is this: the Bible, rather than being man-centered, is always centered around God. It's theocentric. It looks to him. It points always to him. You see, God-centered spirituality sees the glory of God and the advancement of the kingdom. It's never about what we want. It's never about our own agenda, but it's always about what the Father wants, advancing his purposes and his kingdom. Scripture's goal is not material or even spiritual gain for ourselves. And sometimes we think that it's all about me becoming more super spiritual. It's all about me. No, Scripture is never about spiritual gain for ourselves. Neither is it about self-realization or promotion. But it's about the realization that we that you, that us, have been called as students of Jesus. We've been called as heralds and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. All the glory goes to him, not to ourselves. Listen, the Israelites got a lot of things wrong. They did. We can't deny it. The Bible makes it clear they got a lot of things wrong. But one thing they did get right is that when God came to them in their time of need to bring them out of slavery through Moses, they found a new richness of understanding in God. And because of that richness in their hearts, they were willing to go out into the desert. Friends, I want to say that perhaps, Lord, perhaps we are stuck. We're unwilling to go out because despite the richness that we have, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, but despite the richness, we still have the desert in our hearts. So when it comes to describing man and his needs of the heart, it's one of the most commonly used terms in Scripture. And when you hear the heart in Scripture, it's a metaphor for what is happening in our souls. It's a metaphor for what is happening in our minds, in our thinking, in our will, the decisions we make, and the emotions that we feel. We must therefore ask ourselves a couple of questions. How well am I guarding or keeping my heart? The second one is the condition of my heart my greatest concern? How well am I guarding my heart? And only you can answer that question. You see, they have to be important questions because the heart is what influences every part of our lives. It ultimately determines how much we love God. It ultimately determines how much we are prepared to pay, what cost we are prepared to pay in living the Christian life. It ultimately determines who we are and what we do. Out of the wellspring of the heart, it's the Scriptures say. And so I want to give... I probably haven't got time, but I want to just begin to give you some pointers in terms of things that we can do in terms of the heart. And I call this message, What the Heart Needs to Know. The first thing that the heart needs to know is that the heart needs guarding. It needs guarding because of our natural bias toward our fallen nature. And that's true even of those who have been born again. How many times, look, you know that you have been born again, you know that you love the Lord, and yet you find yourselves doing those things that you don't want to do and you know you shouldn't be doing, and you struggle and you ask yourself, am I really a Christian? Am I really born again? Yes, you are. But what's happening, friends, is that you're not allowing the power and the work of the Spirit, the one who is in you, you're not allowing him to have control of your life. And so when you work out of the soul instead of the Spirit, that's why you find yourselves doing the things you do. This is why Paul was able to talk about that thing about, I find myself doing the things I don't want to do, and the things that I do want to do, I struggle with, I can't do them. That's the conflict that we have, because when you work out of the Spirit who lives in you, there is an empowering, a willingness, a desire to do the things of God. But all too often, most of the time, if we are honest, and you need to be honest, most of us, most of the time, even though we are born again, are working out of the soul, not the Spirit. And that's why we struggle with those things. And the Bible tells us that the heart needs guarding. It needs guarding. Our souls, our mind, our will and emotions, remember, haven't been renewed. Our spirit's been renewed, but not the mind, the soul, and the will and the emotions. And so there's a constant battle, and you know what I'm talking about. Who knows what I'm talking about? Are there any perfect believers in the house this morning? I don't think so, because we all struggle with stuff. We all struggle with stuff. There's a constant battle with our mind, our will, our emotions. I know I shouldn't do this, but there is something pulling me in, just a desire. We're working out of self. But having received the revelation and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, He's the one who allows us, enables us to choose, because our life is a choice. The Spirit allows us to choose at times to work out of obedience, to work out of a place of humility, to know the mind of Christ, to work out of faith, to exercise forgiveness. Listen, in there things like forgiveness and agape love, and that agape love is so vital, because everything we do must flow out of a desire, an agape love. Everything. Loving as Christ loved us. Everything flows out of that agape love. And when it does, we can know the joy of the Lord as our strength. When we work out of the Spirit, listen, in the natural, there are things, I appreciate, there are things that people have done to you in the past. In the natural will allow you to feel hurt and maybe bitterness and you know, hatred. That's the natural. That's when you're working out of the natural. But when you make room and allow the Spirit to work through you, when you allow the Spirit to break out and to permeate every aspect of your life, that's when you find yourself with that supernatural ability of forgiveness, forgiving people where in the natural you couldn't do it. Because you're working out of the Spirit. It's those times when people like me perhaps really annoy you. You know, and in your work, and you're working in the, you know, in from the things of the soul, and you're getting angry and you're getting frustrated. You know, and you're thinking all sorts of things about me. But when you allow the Spirit brings with Him patience. Hallelujah. He brings patience and mercy, and those things I haven't put in there, but in the Spirit you should have things like mercy and grace. Hallelujah. I tell you what, most of us need to work out of the Spirit. Paul says, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And that word that Paul uses, it's not a one-off. It's an ongoing process, because every single one of us, in being conformed into the likeness of Christ, are involved in a process. And so if we are going to exercise the Spirit of God, if we're going to see that working in us and through our lives, then there has to be a transformation in our thinking. A transformation that allows us to set aside, to get out of our own way, if I can use that phrase from you two, get out of our own way and allow the Spirit to begin to work and flow through us. Hallelujah. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's an ongoing thing. And so there's a requirement that we constantly check our thinking. You know, we come back to our thinking. We look again at our will, the choices that we make. We need to check how we are feeling and subject them to the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee, you know, 10 times out of 10, God, by His Spirit, will always have something different to say into a situation and into our circumstances. We need our minds transformed, friends. We need a willingness to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Paul, again, in chapter 12 of Romans, the first verse talks about, therefore, it says you have a, Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When Paul was talking about that, he had in mind, you know, the burnt offerings that they would take up in days of old, that sacrifice where they would bring an offering for the sins that they were committing, and they would name them and take a burnt offering. And that speaks about that which goes up. And let me tell you, friends, there are times when something arises in our souls and goes up to our thinking, a wrong thought or a wrong idea. And when those things happen, when it goes up, you know, when our thoughts, those wrong thoughts arise, that, friends, those are the times when we need to bring ourselves and submit ourselves on that altar of sacrifice before the Lord. We need a transformation of our minds. The heart, friends, needs guarding. The second thing is this. The heart needs guarding. It needs guarding because we do not naturally think the way that God thinks. We don't look at life the way that God looks at life. Fundamentally, inerrantly, we're ignorant of his mind and his ways because we're spending too much time working out of the soul instead of out of the spirit. I tell you, we desperately need wisdom and direction, friends. We need to know his ways. We need to know our own hearts. Again, we're reminded, Proverbs 19:3 tells us this, warns us, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against God. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where you've made a wrong decision? You didn't ask God what he thought about it. You didn't ask the Spirit. You just went ahead and did it because you wanted to do it. And then it all went terribly wrong, horribly wrong. And then what do? You turn around and you blame God. It's your fault. You should have stopped me. You should have warned me. You should have told me. No, you made the choice. And what the choices that we make always brings a consequence, whether for good or for bad. Always brings a consequence. One of the illustrations that I use from time to time, and only because I can't think of another one, is you know, if you throw yourself, if you're feeling down and depressed, and you throw yourself off a building to commit suicide, and then halfway down you change your mind, you think, oh, I've done the wrong thing, there's still going to be a consequence. You're going to hit the floor. There is always a consequence for our actions, and we need to exercise the Spirit so that we make better choices. We make choices toward God. And therefore, we need to guard our hearts, because our hearts are not naturally inclined to the way that God thinks. Again, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Do you want to know whether you're a man or a woman of God? Just do an audit of your life, the areas of your life. That will tell you who you are. That will tell you whether you're working out of spirit or out of the soul. The third thing is this, and I'm going to finish with this. I've got other things, but time is gone. But I'm going to finish with this. The third thing is this. The heart needs guarding. I hope you're beginning to see a theme here. The heart needs guarding because the Bible tells us, like sheep, we are prone to wander away from God's heart. Again, Scripture tells us in Isaiah 53:6, all we, that's all of us, that word we includes everyone without exception. So don't look to your neighbor and think that he's talking about you, or Scripture's talking about you. No, it's talking about you. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, our natural inclination is to live independently of God. Our natural inclination is to take charge and direct our own affairs. We want to control our own destinies. We don't like the thought of someone else doing it for us, even when that person can do it infinitely better than we ever could. Some of us want to trust God to get us into heaven, but we'd still rather direct and control our lives. I want to do my own thing, God, but, you know, when the time comes, just give the nod and let me in. But whilst I'm here on earth, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to follow my own purposes and desires and destiny. Listen, friends, sometimes we are more committed to ourselves than we are to God. And that needs to change. That needs to change. We need to get ourselves on God's agenda, on His page, on His thinking. We need to allow the Spirit to enable us, because He can, and empower us to completely follow His directions. We sometimes make the mistake, friends, of pursuing things that we think are going to make us happy. That we sometimes make the mistake of pursuing things that we think are going to give us security. You know, that better job, more money in the bank, a relationship, you know, whatever. There are things, listen, the world in general is against us. The world will put things in our way that will seek to take us away from the destiny and the purposes that God has for us. And there's a constant battle that we are in. And we need to bring ourselves, guard our hearts to ensure that we, rather than going our own way, we bring ourselves back in line with God's way and thinking. Look, I know sometimes it's easier. Some of us have an attitude, and, you know, myself included, sometimes we think to ourselves, if you want something doing, do it yourself. It's easier if I do it. And sometimes we take the same attitude with God. You know, if we want to get somewhere that we've purposed in our minds, we think, God, it's okay. You just stay on the side there. I've got this. I've worked it out. I've planned. I know exactly how to get there. And we shelve God and we just go and follow our own, you know, leanings and our own ideas. God always has a far better idea for our living, our daily living, than we ever could have. And therefore, friends, we need to guard our hearts, because our natural tendency is to stray away from the plans and purposes of God. Hallelujah. Time has gone. I wonder if the team could come. Adrian and Becky. I wonder if you could come back. I don't know if we can sing this song, I Enter In Before You Now.